In 1969, a young divorced mother named Elizabeth Kendall met a charming law student at a Seattle tavern. His name was Ted Bundy. Their connection was immediate and electric. Within hours, he was carrying her sleeping three-year-old daughter, Molly, from the car with unexpected gentleness. What followed was a six-year relationship that seemed, in many ways, ordinary. Family holidays, shared meals, bedtime stories for Molly, and dreams of a future together. Elizabeth couldn't have known she was sharing her life with a man who would become one of America's most notorious serial killers. Their story reveals something profoundly disturbing about human nature, how easily we can be deceived by those closest to us, and how the people we love most may harbor the darkest secrets imaginable. Ted swept into Elizabeth's life like a romance novel character, articulate, confident, with piercing blue eyes. Despite her embarrassment at drunkenly inviting him home, she couldn't resist when he called. Their relationship progressed rapidly, with Ted displaying surprising skill with Molly, delighting the child with playful bedtime stories. Their first weekend in Vancouver deepened their connection. They danced, dined at fine restaurants, and made passionate love. Ted embraced family life, taking them around Seattle and introducing them to his parents in Tacoma. He charmed Elizabeth's family and became magical to three-year-old Molly, handsome, playful, and entertaining with cartoon voices. Their happiness faltered when Ted nervously confessed he was illegitimate. Though Elizabeth assured him it wasn't important, when they obtained a marriage license and she pressed about setting a date, Ted tore it up in frustration. She forgave him when he returned, saying, "I don't want to sleep alone tonight. I really do love you." Afterward, Elizabeth accepted Ted's timeline, but he began spending nights away and missing dates. When she became pregnant, they were devastated as Ted was planning for law school. After her abortion, their relationship suffered another blow when Elizabeth discovered Ted was dating a coworker named Marcy. Though they reconciled, things were never truly the same. In early 1974, disturbing crimes began near Elizabeth's home. Young women disappeared without a trace, some from bedrooms while roommates heard nothing, others vanishing between campus buildings. These incidents left Elizabeth terrified, especially during her nightly walks from garage to front door. On July 14th, Ted appeared unusually cheerful at Elizabeth's door despite recent tension, asked about her plans, then vanished for the day. That evening, he returned with a severe cold, uncharacteristically quiet, and extremely hungry. 3 days later, Elizabeth learned two women had disappeared from Lake Sammamish State Park that Sunday, the same place Ted claimed to have visited the previous weekend. When a police sketch appeared showing a suspect named Ted, who drove a Volkswagen, Elizabeth was disturbed by the similarities. She gathered photos of Ted and rushed to her friend Angie's, confessing her fears and pointing out unsettling coincidences. The British-sounding accent, witnesses reported, the expensive clothes, the Volkswagen, and plaster of Paris she'd once found in Ted's desk. Troubled, they decided to call the police anonymously. Elizabeth's research uncovered disturbing connections. Melissa Smith was found dead after disappearing when Ted went hunting with Elizabeth's father. On November 8th, a woman escaped abduction from someone in a Volkswagen, and Debbie Kent vanished that same night. Ted had called Elizabeth late on November 8th, seemingly providing an alibi. Her bishop contacted Detective Hergesheimer, who admitted neglecting to follow up with Salt Lake authorities. In August 1975, Ted's former landlady mentioned a detective investigating Ted about missing girls. Elizabeth met Detective Kathy McChesney, who revealed Ted's arrest for possessing burglary tools. At the major crime unit, McChesney showed her disturbing items from Ted's car: gloves, ropes, handcuffs, an ice pick, crowbar, ski mask, and pantyhose with eye slits, leaving Elizabeth repeatedly muttering, "Oh, God." During Ted's 1976 trial, Carol DeRanche testified about her terrifying abduction, despite Ted's claims of misidentification. Though initially asking Elizabeth to stay away, Ted suddenly wanted her present for closing arguments. When the guilty verdict came, both Ted's mother and Elizabeth cried. As detectives handcuffed him, Elizabeth embraced him one final time, but he was already like a dead man standing up. When Ted faced first-degree murder charges in Colorado, he maintained his innocence. Elizabeth visited him one final time before his transfer. Their goodbye was calmer than previous farewells, though still painful. In January 1978, Ted escaped through an Aspen courtroom window. After recapture, Elizabeth told him about her new relationship, which he accepted gracefully. They continued sharing books, reading Shogun simultaneously. During his second escape on New Year's Eve 1978, Elizabeth's feelings differed dramatically. Unlike her secret happiness during his first escape, she now feared he might come to her home. Despite trying to believe Ted wouldn't harm them, she nailed basement windows shut and accepted police protection. After his Florida capture, Ted called Elizabeth in a rare vulnerable moment and confessed to being sick with an uncontrollable force, the only time he ever admitted his crimes to her. When he later proclaimed innocence publicly, Elizabeth was disgusted by his manipulation and lies. 6 months after the verdict, Elizabeth visited Ted in prison, where he ominously stated, "Something's going to happen, soon," hinting at escape plans. Later, she visited the mall where Carol Duranche was abducted, trying to visualize the scene. This exercise left her with a terrible headache and suicidal thoughts. Elizabeth struggled for years with brutal realities. Ted killed women, then took her to dinner. He raped and murdered victims, then slept beside her. He excused himself from family time to commit murder, returning charming the next day. People often question if Ted loved her and Molly. Elizabeth believes he did, though some suggest they merely provided cover for his seemingly normal life. For Molly, accepting the truth was devastating. As a child, she defended his innocence to classmates even after his conviction. In the updated edition, Molly revealed a disturbing incident when Ted, while babysitting her at age 7, exposed himself to her under the pretense of a game. Both women eventually found healing paths. Elizabeth found peace through her spiritual life and recovery program, learning that obsessive thinking cannot change the past. Molly reclaimed places associated with Ted's crimes, including Lake Sammamish State Park, where she now walks with her dogs. The devastation of Mount St. Helens in 1980, trees blown over, ground covered in ash, mirrored how Elizabeth felt when she finally accepted Ted was a murderer. While she doesn't understand his compulsion to kill, she relates to compulsion through her own battle with alcoholism. Most importantly, she's grateful her daughter and she survived the Phantom Prince, who turned out to be a monster in disguise.